Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you very much for joining the show. Episode number 426. We're still here. We're still doing it. Every week, we invite you to subscribe to our bonus content. And for some people, that's a bridge too far. I understand. I don't subscribe to every show I listen to's bonus content. But if you like it, you can click the link in your show notes and subscribe there. It's $5 a month. Somebody reached out to me this week and asked me why I was no longer posting the stereo chats, reposting, I guess, or sharing the stereo chats that I've been doing on Friday nights, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast after show with our good friend of the show, Dolomite D. And I was like, I didn't think people were really into them. But I'll post those there. You also get all the extra stuff that we do here every week, plus bonus shows here and there. It's a lot extra. You get a lot more than just the regular listener. But if you just want to be a regular listener, that's cool too. You know what would be cool is if you did click the share function in the iTunes app or wherever you're listening to this and text the show to a buddy and say, hey, you should check this out. I think you'd like this. That would be a great help to us as well. We appreciate it. You can also reach out. We're recording a day early this week. So some of you like to really push the needle, run it right down to the wire, and email or voicemail just prior to when we typically record. Well, we're recording a day early, so you might not hear yourself until next week. But if you do want to hear yourself next week, call us up. 949-464-TBLS-8257. Also, you can send us an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. I believe, and this bums me out so much, it's really depressing. I think The Bachelor's starting soon, and it's the Bachelor. It seems like, I mean, the fact that The Bachelor exists already is pretty stupid, but now it's like, you know, we need to be sex positive, and look, everybody should be represented, but now it seems like they're doing three bachelorettes to every one bachelor. And there's just not enough crazy people on The Bachelorette, but I think they're doing a double bachelorette thing. If you're into that, and you shouldn't be, but you should still listen to the show I do about it with our good friend Jason Stewart, The Bachelor Lifestyle. Look that up on your app right now and subscribe so you don't miss any bachelor updates, which will start as soon as that show starts, which I believe is pretty soon. I am joined now, as always, by Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
Good. I just got the... maybe the world's saddest update from, like, Apple calendars.
I don't know. Flag Day.
Flag Day tomorrow.
Yes.
I mean, where was the bar?
Yes.
When we established that holiday?
Every day is fucking Flag Day in this country. What is Flag Day?
Flag Day? Like, just the cloth? Like, we couldn't get enough of Betsy Ross? Like,
it's insane.
Her sewing? What does that even mean?
I don't know. I mean, we worship the flag every fucking day in this country. We need a day for it. It's all the flag. I do have to admit, we have a pretty sweet flag.
We have a good flag. We don't have a good anthem. We have a good flag.
We have a shitty anthem. We have a great flag. You know whose flag I love?
Oh.
Japan.
I like it. Minimalist.
Yeah, it's
the
great.
Rising sun.
And you can use it in text if you want to ask your lady if she started her period. You'd be like, hey, you got your, and then you just type Japan and the flag shows up. Yeah. I like Japan. Canada, great flag.
There's some flag, Eastern Europe. There's a fucking dragon.
Seriously?
There's one country that has like a dragon and it's amazing.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
What about the one that's like boat flag shaped? It's like got points on it.
That's allowed? Like square?
Yeah. Who said you could do that?
Swaziland, I think. Yeah. Something like that.
Yes, exactly.
Dragon flag.
Yeah, I won't be worshiping the flag tomorrow or any other day. We need to calm down on our flag fucking in this country, I think.
I believe it's Asian. Bhutan. Bhutan. It's got a fucking dragon on it.
Bhutan. That's where they did the Death March.
Yeah. No, that's where Bhutan.
Bhutan. Oh, different.
I think that's different.
Similar sounding.
Yeah, it's similar.
Very confusing. This is a Taiwan Formosa situation.
Yeah, it's land of the thunder dragon is what the country's like a translation of.
Oh, that sounds like some D&D guy is running the country. He's like, I'm going to start my own country and I'm going to call it Land of the Thunder Dragon and no dwarves or warlocks allowed.
So it's either a really cool flag or the least cool flag. There's no in between.
Land of the Thunder Dragon. So I started watching that Wire show, Ed. I'm chewing a mango like a Rube over here. Hold on.
And you're watching, I'm terrible at names. Yeah. Dude acting his dick off.
John Bernthal.
Bernthal. He's got that Ballmer accent.
Yeah.
Better than McNulty.
I think he's from DC.
Well, okay. But McNulty, he faded in and out seven times per episode. But Bernthal's got it locked. Yeah.
McNulty was like more British than not British on The Wire. But I know that the show has a stupid name because I can never remember it.
We Own the City.
We Own the City. We own the city. It's really good. It's good to see like Jay Landsman and Poot and Slim Charles shows up.
Yeah, how about Slim Charles? Just like he's just a driver. Like,
yeah, he's a working man.
Over.
Like, he's just a working man.
Just a little, sprinkle a little bit in. Dookie gets a little moment.
It is interesting that they make the corner boys cops.
Yes.
You know, it's like they kind of flip it. So it's same world.
Jay Landsman is pretty much the same guy.
It's funny because Jay Landsman, I mean, he's a big fat guy, but he's dropped at least 300 pounds from what he was before.
He looks way healthier. I mean, if you said watching The Wire, one of these guys is going to be dead in 2022.
Oh, yes.
Omar Jay Landsman.
Yes, I know. It's crazy, but it's so good. I watched two episodes last night.
I mean, very recent. Like, this is all shit that was like 2017.
Yeah,
it's scary.
No, it's really good, and I'm way into it. And way to bury the lead. Andrea Zuckerman's the fucking DA.
Yes, yes, like, Andrea
Zuckerman, and she's the same age as when she was a senior at West Beverly.
Right. Yeah, she's. You're right. I wonder how the marriage with Jesse. I forget his name.
All right. He was balding.
And Mark Espinosa, the actor.
Yes.
And he may have tuned her up. He was verbally abusive.
That's right.
But I remember
they were working on the paper together.
Yeah. And there was one episode where they fought. Like, this is when they're like, all right, we got to ship her out of town because they just had no storylines left.
Yeah.
That she and Jesse were arguing over, like, his mom gave the baby, like, a cross necklace and she's like, I'm Jewish, this can't be, and it's like,
who gives a shit?
Well, let's just watch the hot chicks hook up. Like, what are we doing here?
You know, it's they started running out of shit after high school ended.
Yeah,
although Val was there.
Hang on a second. The college years I think were better because you got Val.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll be honest, I wasn't, you know, I've seen episodes. I wouldn't call myself a fan, but Val running the peach pit after dark. I mean, that was a good
some drug overdoses. You had some shit going on.
Yeah. That was a good storyline for sure. I also Saturday night, I went to the Dead and Company show at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. I was way into it. Could have been the many psychedelic mushrooms that I ate while we were there.
Well, that's my theory for anyone who's nostalgic about the Dead.
I know.
They're nostalgic for the drugs.
Because you're on the drugs when you're watching. But it was awesome. John Mayer's awesome. But something I did notice. Security was fucking so tight, Ed. It's like anybody that's been to an NFL game recently, and I think they're doing a Major League Baseball now. You can't bring a purse. If you do,
they have cracked down on all kinds of, like, you can't bring anything now.
Yes, you can't bring anything. If you do want to bring a bag, it has to be clear. Right. So they, you know, they're searching everybody and they go in. The lines were longer than anything. But what I did notice, and it's not like it used to be in the 90s when the Dead were going full force. They're touring the country. They're touring all the time. And there's this cottage industry of people that follow them around.
Right.
But so it's not the, that's not the majority of the fans anymore, but those fans are still there. Like, we were inside. So I had tickets like in the pit. So we were like in front of the stage, and all these little dirt bags were coming up to us being like, "Hey, will you give me, can I use your wristband so I can get in?" And of course we're letting them, well, mostly Shane, my girlfriend's letting, giving her wristband to let all these little dirt bags in. But then I'm looking around and I'm looking at one lady, and she has somehow smuggled in roughly 1,400 of those tiny cheap bottles of Sutter Home wine.
What?
And she's drinking them. And I'm like, how are you doing? And they're like, there's no lighters. Like, they're patting everybody down. And then I look over and some other dirtbag is just token away on his bong. And I'm like, how do these guys figure it out? Do they? Here's my thoughts. They either show up really early and sneak in. They sneak in like before the security's there, when security's light. And then my buddy Mike used to do this at the Super Bowl pre-9/11. He'd show up and he'd wear a suit. Mm-hmm. He'd show up to the Super Bowl and he'd walk in the employee entrance and he'd be on his phone. And so they'd just assume he was somebody there. And
that's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, it was. And it worked every time. 9/11 made that a little more difficult.
So
but these, yeah.
Yeah. This is not a wearing a jacket situation.
No.
The one time I was able to pull off bringing in a bunch of stuff, I assume it was Giant Stadium. I was wearing a winter jacket and I lined up beers inside my sleeves.
Yes.
Because when they pat you down, you open up your arms. You know, you do the full eagle
they
wing.
They don't pat your arms.
They don't pat the arms. But like, if you know, in a warmer weather situation, I don't know how you'd pull that off.
No, it's difficult. You used to be able to do the like pint of Captain Morgan's like in your belt line.
Right.
That kind of thing. I've heard of people like for festival shows like Lollapalooza at Grant Park in Chicago. They'll go like a week before and dig a hole and like bury a couple bottles of vodka in the hole.
And then you get a treasure map.
Yeah. You mark it and you go back and find it. But
where's me room?
These scumbags had like, they were just like set up, like they're living their life. And I'm like, and you know, maybe it was the psychedelic trip I was on. I was like, maybe these guys got it figured out. Like, they're doing exactly what they want to do every single day. They have no visible means of income except they're fucking drinking wine and smoking weed and watching the same fucking concert I paid $250 to attend.
It is really interesting how some people like can carve out a life like that.
Totally. And it's, I mean, you know, I'm not mad at them.
Yeah. I mean, boy, how do they eat though? I
know.
Cause conversely,
kindness of strangers.
Conversely, I look around every day and think like, God, how did I spend this much on this? Like, everything costs so much money. Everything.
Everything's so fucking expensive right now, Ed.
It's so expensive. And it's like, there's some people who just don't even deal with money.
I know. It's like you go to the store with inflation now. You go to the store and, you know, you have an idea of what you're going to spend just based on how many items you have. And I'll get a little basket and I'll be like, oh, this is about $80. And then you check out and it's like $200. Yeah. And I'm like, what is happening? Right? But they're not affected by these things.
The big thing I notice more and more is the shrinkflation. Every package is just so small now.
Yes.
Everything. Like,
totally.
Like, just anything. It's just small.
Yeah. No, that is a real work that corporate America puts us through, where you're like, oh, I need a new thing of mayonnaise. And it's like they've like slimmed out the container.
Now
you're
it's
like,
12 ounces instead of 16.
You're like, what? Motherfucker.
Did my hands just grow or is everything smaller? What is happening?
Unbelievable. Okay. You got anything else?
I do. Okay. I just discovered a new band tonight and I want to tell the world.
Dead and Company featuring John Mayer? No.
Nah, I mean, I respect the hell out of John Mayer because I know he's a super talent. And I remember enjoying a Hot Wings or Hot Ones episode with him. That was pretty good.
Yeah, he crushes that.
There's a band called Mars Junction. Not 30 Seconds to Mars.
Well, of course not.
But it is a celebrity band.
Oh, no.
The celebrities are a pair of brothers. Portrayed in the Facebook movie. I'm talking about the Winklevoss twins.
Army Hammer times two?
Army Hammer times two. Somehow, I just read something in Vice, and they're talking about how, like, they're really flexing their celebrity / money status.
Their Bitcoin windfall.
Yeah, they're getting, like, real gig times with their crummy Mars band.
Shut up. Do they both play guitar? I feel like they would have to be mirror images. One has to play left-handed, and the other one plays right-handed.
I accidentally closed it. Their band, there's a picture, and like they've got that dead face.
Oh yeah, dead eyes.
Winklevoss twins sing "Don't Stop Believing."
Oh days, no, it's a cover band.
Days after layoffs at crypto startup.
Don't stop believing unless you thought you were getting a paycheck on Thursday.
They are terrifying.
Yes, they're so scary.
Tyler is vocals and Cameron is guitar. The newly formed hard-hitting rock band that'll have you singing and dancing all night long to your favorite songs from artists like The Killers, Blink 182, Rage Against the Machine, and many more. Come out and party with us.
They don't even have any original song. Okay, I'm looking them up.
Oh, so in this Paste magazine link, there is a clip.
Okay, I'll play it. I see it here. Don't stop believing. Of course they're playing Journey. Oh my God, they're stupid fucking faces.
Those faces you just want to punch.
Yes, they're punchable. They look like a cartoon high school bully. Like yes. they're just yes. like beyond, they're just made in a lab, you know? Okay, let's see.
Oh, it would be pretty cool if then a band playing the same songs was done by Armie Hammer and the older brother from the Tim Allen show.
That would be great. They're so tall, too. Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah.
No, he sucks.
He's karaoke.
No, he cannot sing. He's not on key at all. Oh my God.
This is like bad karaoke. When you just want to get out of the bar, you're like, somebody's singing over there and I got to get out of here.
Holy shit, Ed. And there's people in the crowd with shirts that say Mars Junction. Like they're paid to be there. Oh my God. Yes. Chain wallet alert on Tyler. I mean, listen. Oh, he's playing a solo. I mean, I guess the guy can play guitar, the other brother.
Yeah, he's decent enough, but like you're supposed to have a singer who can sing.
No, he can't sing at all. Like, who did they pay to get this press?
Horrible.
Because there's, in every town you go to, there are really good cover bands playing bars.
Oh, yeah. Like,
there are people that dedicate their life to this. I believe one time listener of the show, guitar player Chris, is in a very good cover band in the outside of Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure he's 100 times better than these guys.
Yes, these guys are fucking horrible. Now you piss me off, Ed. Who's got a shirt?
I just read that right before the show started. I was like, oh, I got to bring up the Winklevoss. And also, they choose Mars. Like, we've already have a joke celebrity band with Mars in it.
Yeah, Mars. Yeah, it's probably some tie into their stupid fucking Bitcoin bullshit.
Crypto nonsense.
Yes. Fuck these assholes. Okay, let's talk.
Speaking of crypto, I saw an update because it's been updated several times. But ever since the Matt Damon "Fortune Favors the Brave" commercial, if you invested $1,000, it would now be worth $350.
Well, he got paid. I mean,
he got paid. I know he got.
He didn't get paid in Bitcoin.
But yeah, Fortune doesn't favor anyone who followed his advice in the commercial.
I did like that when people are like, Who's the effeminate, tall quarterback that went to Clemson and got drafted by Jacksonville?
Trevor Lawrence.
They're They're like, Trevor Lawrence is going to take his whole salary in Bitcoin. And meanwhile, the NFL is like, we don't know how to do that. Like, we'll just pay you. You do whatever you want with it. And like, what difference does it make? Like, if you're really hard for Bitcoin, you just take your salary and whatever it comes right. in, and then you fucking buy your stupid fucking Bitcoin.
It's like Mayor Eric Adams. He's yes. getting paid solely in Bitcoin.
Yes, good.
Fuck and him. That dude is everywhere, and yes. he's so inauthentic. Like every conversation, but like if you. You know, I don't watch the local news, but anytime there's like an update, it's like, here's Eric Adams here and there. He's just everywhere.
Everybody hates him.
I'm going to the city Friday, and I expect to see Eric Adams there.
Yes, you're going to run into him. He's gonna shake your hand. He's right. going to be Hello. along with the guy selling tall boys when you get off the subway.
Yes. Hello, it is I, a Fort Lee resident who pretends to be from Manhattan.
That's bullshit, by the way.
Yeah,
that's fucking bullshit.
He and Dr. Oz both yes. just, they're not residents. It's
fucking carpetbaggers is what yeah. they are. And that's fucking bullshit. And it's they should or crack
famous,
down on that.
Or like famous New Yorker Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton. Yeah, exactly. Fucking bullshit. Okay, let's talk some sports.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hands that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own joy on DVD.
Ed, let's cleanse our palate of Mars Junction. And you know what? This is one of those things. I can't remember shit. I can't remember We Own the City. I can't remember.
I can't remember John Bernthal. And I keep telling people how great his acting performance is. Yes. And I keep forgetting his name.
Who's the Indian girl on The American Office?
Mindy Kaling.
Mindy Kaling. I can never remember that name. I can't remember just regular ass shit. I'm never going to forget Mars Junction. It's all I have. I'm always going to know it. I'm never not going to know the Winklevoss twins shitty fucking cover band. Mars Junction. I'll never be able to forget it.
You're going to be at a bar someday and they're going to be performing.
God, I hope so. I'll buy a shirt.
Yeah.
Love
I
that
mean,
one.
Speaking of shirts, hey, does anyone want this Mars shirt or should I just give it to the homeless shelter?
you go to Rwanda, you do a humanitarian mission because to Rwanda.
It'll be there with the Bengals Super Bowl t-shirt. Yes.
Bengals Super Bowl and Mars Junction. what's going on in the world of sports? So cleanse my palate.
This team, the first two stories about one team that I didn't even realize that the wheels had come off this bad because all I hear about is their two stars.
Right.
But anyway, the Angels manager Joe Maddon got a mohawk to bust the Angels out of their losing streak, but was fired before the team could see that he gave himself a mohawk.
It is kind of, you know, he was, and this is, the writing was on the wall because he was in the last year of a contract. You're never supposed to have a coach or manager
right.
start the season in the last year of a contract because they know they're going to get fired and the team knows they're not going to be around long, so they don't listen to him. So,
I am surprised. Yeah. I mean, you, this is right in your backyard, yeah. but I only hear about they've got two superstars. I know Trout has had injury problems the last couple of years, but superstars and Joe Maddon had a great track record. He did good things. He brought the Rays to a World Series.
That's right.
And then he wins the World Series with the Cubs.
Yep.
Like
yep.
this dude had a tremendous track record and he goes to a team with some stars and like it's a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's you know, this is the fish rots from the head down, Ed. I mean, it's not the manager problem. It's,
as a fan of the Washington Commanders, New York Knicks, like I know all about it.
Yes, exactly.
I know all about shitty organizations.
And it's just like, and you know they're poorly run because last night I'm like, oh, let's throw some sports on. There's literally no sports on except for Sunday Night Baseball. National TV game for the Angels, a team that most Major League Baseball player or baseball fans forget exists. They're on national TV. It's probably the one time all season they're going to be on Sunday Night Baseball.
Right.
And they sat both their stars.
Yeah, that's...
They gave Otani and Trout the night off on a national TV game.
Yeah, like, what are you doing then?
How fucking small time are you that you can't... Look, I get it's one game at a time, but you got to be looking down the road. Hey, on Sunday night, we're going to be on TV. Let's put our best effort out. Maybe give Otani a blow a couple days before so he's ready. But no, you have the biggest game of your season. Everybody's talking about how you lost 14 in a row, and then you lose. You score one run, and you sit your two best players. It's insane. Like they're so badly run. It's hilarious.
Another thing they tried to do to change their negative mojo was all of their walk up music was Nickelback. But yeah, that didn't work and they kept losing.
Yeah. See, this is woke culture run amok, Ed. This is the millennial ball player has ruined our beautiful game of baseball. It's destroyed the traditions. Now you get Mohawks and play Nickelback when everyone knows the way to get out of the slump is to get wasted on Wild Turkey.
That's right.
Smoke a carton at Chesterfield's and balls deep a chubby cocktail waitress.
Yeah, you do, at very least, you do some Crash Davis shit. Yeah, you go out for like a boozy night with the boys and just you clear your head.
Just don't take BP. Just show up. Don't think about it. But instead, these guys are overthinking it. They're half-stepping it by pumping the back at the ballpark, ruining everybody's time. It's bitch. These guys got to get back to the old school, which Joe Maddon probably could have taught him about, but he's gone.
One thing that I don't. I don't like Nickelback, but it's weird how like they're the worst,
right?
You know, like everyone it's like understood they're the worst. And to me, they're like not good, but they're no worse than like 50 other bands that people love. Like, I don't understand it. Right. And like, I guess that just makes me an old,
like Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. Like I just
probably worse than Nickelback.
Yeah. Like, but some are like respected and some are just, you know, treated like Nickelback. And it's just weird how like that happened, that they're just understood to be the worst. When to me, I don't know exactly their songs, but I'd rather hear them than Coldplay.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Right? And Coldplay's on the Super Bowl.
Right. It's just it's weird.
Yeah. Jay Stu likes Coldplay. That's all you need to know. Meanwhile, look, we all love him. Armando, Mr. Worldwide, Mr. 305, Mr. Pitbull. 305,
yeah.
He's out there. He's celebrated. He's lauded everywhere he goes. And look, it's tongue in cheek. Right. He's a great guy, but nobody shits on Pitbull's music, which also sucks. You know?
I think one time I was like walking down the street and somebody drove by blasting Pitbull. And I was like,
yeah,
there really are people who listen to this. It was kind of shocking.
I went to that clash at the Coliseum NASCAR race, and it was like a made for TV thing.
Yeah.
And Pitbull was like the opening act, and it was like 85 degrees, and he was out there in black jeans and a leather jacket doing his thing.
He's pulling the Tim Allen.
Yeah. People were going nuts. They loved him because he's Mr. Worldwide.
We'll move over to the world of Formula One. The daughter of F1 icon James Hunt. There was that movie. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I believe is he the who's the Australian guy?
It was a Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth. No, yeah, Chris. Yeah, Hemsworth.
The most beautiful Hemsworth.
He played James Hunt, right?
Yeah, and then the Nazi from Inglourious Basterds played Niki Lauda. The
Christoph Waltz?
No. The younger Nazi who strangles.
Right. The guy with the big dick.
The sniper. The sniper Nazi in that movie.
Oh, no.
sorry.
I don't know.
He's a German actor, but like anyway, yes. The movie was about the rivalry between Hunt and
Fassbender.
Lada.
Was it Fassbender?
Fassbender was in. No, this is a younger guy. But
Fassbender's got a fucking hog on him.
Swinging the pendulum.
He will fucking show it in the movies. He's like, here, look at my dick. It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah, he will. But anyway, it's a good movie. I think it's called Rush or something.
Yeah, it's called Rush.
It's a good movie.
Ron Howard,
Anyway, the daughter of F1 icon James Hunt claims her dad had sex with over 5,000 women, including 35 British Airways air hostesses during his run to the 1976 Formula One World Championship title.
Well, of course, I don't doubt any of this, Ed. This is back.
This is a weird flex for a daughter.
Yes, yes. I mean,
my dad's got the dirtiest dick in Europe.
Hey, Kimberly, tell us about your dad. Well, he fucked a lot,
lots of cocaine and lots of sex. Yeah.
My dad slung serious dick. The dude was a fuck machine, really stuck it in a lot of bitches. Oh, yeah. Okay. How was Christmas? All athletes get it at a high level, but certain athletes get it at an extremely high level. And it's really a fight at the bat rack between Formula One, soccer players.
Yeah.
Hockey players, because this is all, it's all top shelf. What they get, the NFL guys get a lot, but it's sloppy. The NBA guys get a lot, really sloppy.
But yeah, I would say Formula One and soccer, they're getting the top shelf.
They're international, but you watch, because see, back when this James Hunt guy was running, this is when fucking men were men. This is, you had a little fender bender, you were going to be burned alive. Like, it's not, guys died every week. You know, it was a fucking ballsy proposition to be a race car driver.
Click on the link, though. Just the first picture of him. This dude, he's got
beautiful hair.
He's got five willing women in the picture.
Yeah. And now the guys. Hold on, let me look at the picture first. Sports Rush. Oh, bedded 5,000 women. It's so weird. Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh.
Like, this guy is just living his best life.
I mean, people, what's going on below the waistline in that fire suit, Ed?
Yep, he's got a fire hose.
Yeah, he's got a fire hose in his fire suit, and he's really running the gamut. He's got blondes, brunettes, redheads,
black woman,
chocolate. Yeah, he's got a little bit of everything there. He's, you know, he went around the world.
And his rival, Niki Lauda, was deformed from a crash.
Fire. I think he just recently died. This is back when men were men and every stewardess was an eight, Ed. Like, this is the real dudes. And now you watch the reality show and all these guys are super fey. Like, it's hot. Like, they still date models, but it's hard to picture one of these effete little lady boys throwing down even a mediocre session. Like, what this James Hunt guy did, like, that was man shit. And these little boys that do it now, I just can't picture it. I think I imagine they do make a lot of money and they go to a lot of different countries, but I feel like F1 guys are kind of slipping in the, hierarchy.
Does that show kind of indicate any of the, you know, without being explicit, do they show any groupie kind of celebrity for these guys?
Well, I do remember. I mean, not really. I don't watch it that closely, but I do remember that the Red Bull guy, Pierre LaCroix,
that sounds like the most made up French name.
No, Pierre LaCroix. That's not I know. I can't remember what his name is, but it's something. I'm close. I'm pretty close. Pierre LaCroix. He was his best friend died in Formula 2 in season 1, and then like the very next episode,
Formula 2, is that the minor leagues?
Yeah, it's like amazing. The next level down. Yeah, so his best friend died in Formula 2, and then the next episode they show him taking the best friend's girlfriend into his trailer. So
he was broken up.
Needed
a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, they were both sad. So I can't remember that guy's name. I'm pretty close. Pierre LaCroix, something like that. But they're all so little and they're like wimpy, you know, little rich boys that they're just not like the men. Like, you look at Ayrton Senna, you watch that Ayrton Senna documentary.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And he, you know, he's Brazilian. He's handsome. He's rich.
He put up Hunt numbers.
Yes. He plucked his wife off a she was like a showgirl on a TV show that he was getting, kind of like what Waino did with Janet Jones on Dance Fever. Like, just, hey, I'm fucking Ayrton Senna. And the next thing you know, he's getting married. You know, like, these guys were men back then. These kids today, not buying it.
But it's, I mean, she must have all kinds of issues that she's sitting there bragging about her dad's numbers. It's really weird.
It's really weird.
My dad had a dirty dick.
Like, my kids follow me on Instagram.
Oof.
And right. So anytime I make like a remotely sexual joke on my stories, I always do it to close friends so that it's never like about me, but it's, you know, I'll be making fun of something. I'll always make it so that my kids can't see it. Like, how does this chick know this about her dad?
Right.
It's crazy.
There can be some separation. Like, that part of your life doesn't have to.
Exactly. Yeah. Keep it private, Jim.
Hey, hon.
Guess what your dad did this weekend?
Dad did some work this weekend.
A blonde, a brunette, and a redhead.
I had the Neapolitan.
They had to replace the crew on British Airways on the way back because I already had the first round.
I wore them out. I had to switch over to Virgin Atlantic.
The pilots were high-fiving me.
I sprained my wrist from high-fiving everybody.
Yeah, that's super. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe he kept a diary. I don't know. It's weird.
Dear diary.
Today, don't show this to my daughter.
Today I wore some stewardesses out. We're going to switch to, I think, my least favorite person in baseball.
Oh, he's the worst.
Tony La Russa was heavily criticized.
La Russa?
Yeah, I think an A. I think he's...
And what's the Karate Kid?
Oh.
La Russa. Oh.
Oh.
La Russo. Got it.
He was heavily criticized, and justifiably so. For intentionally walking Trey Turner with a 1-2 count, and then the next batter hit a home run.
Yeah, you could hear you could hear people in the crowd. It was a home game for the Sox yelling, "There's two strikes, Tony."
Horrible.
And then in the post game press conference, he defended it. He's like, "Do you know what Trey Turner hits?
Yeah.
With two strikes."
Yeah, well, like angrily defending himself. Like, at that point, you just say, I made a mistake.
He walked him so he could get a lefty-lefty with Max Muncy, but Max Muncy is a reverse split guy. He hits lefties better than he hits righties. Like, Tony La Russa didn't know that. Because you know what?
He wants you to think that he's the smartest guy in the world. Like, he's constantly
invented baseball.
That. Yeah. And he's the reason that baseball has gotten so long, because he's the king of all the double switches and loogies and all that stuff. Like, he is the worst. He's contributed a lot of boredom to our lives.
How about the time he got that DUI?
Oh, and he.
Well, you remember when it happened. White Sox manager Tony La Russa's hiring was made more controversial after a second DUI was revealed last year.
Now WGN has the dash cam video of that incident.
Oh, yeah, and they
WGN's
do.
WGN's Patrick Elwood.
This is his hometown, too.
WGN investigates exclusive.
This is where he works.
Micah and Ray, WGN Investigates has obtained video showing the DUI arrest of the White Sox skipper Tony La Russa. Until now, the video has not been made public. WGN filed.
Skip ahead. He blew your tire out.
I called AAA.
La Russa was having a problem with his car, stranded
I don't
by
think
the
this
side
is
of
the
road. An officer approached.
I think this is where he can't
talking.
Say the alphabet.
Sir, did you have any drinks today? Mm-hmm. Did you have any drinks today?
No.
No.
Oh, he's sweating.
So I want you to just take your hands out of your pockets for me. I'm just going to go to the front of my car right here, okay? Just relax, all right?
What did that thing show?
It showed a .090.
Oh, this isn't the one where he's super wasted.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean,
yeah, that's barely. Like,
don't drink and drive, but
you let him drive home.
0.09 is not so bad. How about the time that Bob Huggins vomited on the door when he got pulled over?
Yeah. I mean, and somebody could tell you that story about Bob Huggins, and of course you immediately believe him because you've seen Bob Huggins.
Yeah, just on the sideline.
Yeah. In his, he always coaches in a sweatsuit to be more comfortable.
Yeah.
In case he barfs on himself.
Another unlikable sports character, Paul Pierce. He has been sued again. He allegedly didn't repay $180,000 poker debt.
Do you think? Well, first of all, like this is on the guy.
Yeah.
Like,
why are you extending credit to Paul Pierce?
Yeah. Remember when
he shit his pants and then got in a wheelchair?
Yes, I do remember that. He went off on a wheelchair. He in return to the game as the finals against the Lakers, and he went off. He had like 33 points in that game. And he claimed to be injured, but really the true story is, or the commonly held belief now, is that he shit his pants in the game.
Right, because there was no indication of why he would need a wheelchair.
A wheelchair. Yeah. It was for the pants shitting.
Horrible.
When Tony let the Terminator 2, the T2, come to his card game, and he took out a marker while Tony was having a nap, and he came back and he realized the T2 was down to him, down $50,000 to him, and he couldn't shape shift into another person and leave because it was a different show. Tony didn't go to the cops. Tony took his fucking sporting goods store.
I love that. Then he gave Meadow his car.
Yeah, his car, his son's car.
So like it was clear what had happened.
Yes. No, it was great.
Yeah, Pierce sucks and he's way overrated. Like the big three, and they won the championship because they added Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett. But before they added those guys, they had come in like they had a losing record.
Yeah.
And he's the Hall of Famer big three. Like he's very Scottie Pippen-ish in that, like very inflated there by his teammates.
Totally. Also, he's from Inglewood, but he went to Kansas for some reason. Shady.
Yep.
You know, and
I watched him lose to the Terps in person.
That's right. He's on TV and all he does is shit on LeBron James because he's jealous of LeBron James.
Right. Yeah, he's an overrated player.
He's the worst. But he borrowed. So I read this. The guy, the poker guy, let him borrow like $140,000.
Jeez. He's never that generous.
And then he's like, I'll get you next week. Then he came back to play again without paying back the $140,000 and borrowed and lost another $40,000.
All right, we got to look up. I have a feeling he made an insane amount of money in his career.
Oh, yeah. It's well over $100 million, I would say.
All right. I want you to.
Okay. We'll do an over under. Or I'll just pick a number. I'm going to say he made $180 million in his career.
All right. That is his current net worth. Let's see what he made. It says he's worth 70, which is still enough to pay those debts.
Yeah. Yeah. He only made 70?
No, that's what he's worth right now.
Oh, worth 70. Yeah. I mean, we've also learned that he lost a bunch of, he ripped somebody off in a marijuana growing business.
Right. God, wait, Basketball Reference usually has the.
Right.
Fuck.
Career. It's usually at the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm scroll all the way down. Bottom.
Now they added so much at the bottom that.
Do you think he just, so I saw recently there was a headline that said, you know, these are always conspiracies. Like Disney, they named that movie Frozen so that when you Google Walt Disney Frozen, it doesn't, the story's about him freezing his head. Yeah. and then recently I saw that, they're like ISIS plans to assassinate George Bush in Dallas. So now if you Google Dallas assassination Bush, it doesn't come up how the elder Bush was implicated with the CIA and the Kennedy assassination. So they're like trying to throw you off the scent. Do you think Paul Pierce keeps doing this stuff so that when you Google his name, the pants shitting thing is like further down and it's like page two of the results. Nobody looks on page two. Yeah. You never go to page two. So you get the pants shitting on page two. Yeah. You look, you're taking out markers in card games and not paying them back, but that's not as bad as people picturing you with your Under Armours full of shit on the court.
Yes, that is a very good point. And what was your guess on how much he made?
$180 million.
That was pretty close.
Yeah.
$198.
Wow.
$198 million.
Yeah, that was back in the day before they really were making... Nobody was making $30 million a year back then.
Yeah, and his last year, he just made $1 million.
Yeah.
His last few years, three and a half, one... But like there was a stretch where he made between $10 and $20 million for like many years.
Yeah.
From 02
yep.
until 14. See it for a dozen years he was making between $10 and $20 million a year.
Unbelievable. I mean he was a good shooter, but
he was a good player, but yeah. he should be in the Hall of Good. Like that's
he's,
not
a, he's a coattail rider.
Yeah.
That's it.
Washington Commanders defensive coordinator Jack Del Rio deletes his Twitter account after the team fined him $100,000 for questioning the January 6 hearings, calling the incident a dust up.
What is it with middle-aged white guys just fucking having to tell you their views on shit? Like who's asking him about? He's a football coach.
Yeah,
nobody gives a fuck about his political opinions.
So he's active on Twitter to the point that, like, I'll sometimes listen to a podcast about the team, and often his tweets are like, "Oh, did you see what he tweeted?" And it's like, shut the fuck up! Like, you're 60 something. Like, you're supposed to know better than to be doing this.
And Jack of the River has a Twitter. Like, how long has he been working for the Commanders? 2 years,
at least. But like, old stories. I remember. So I was friends with the son of an NFL ref, and I remember him telling stories that like Jack Del Rio like bit his hand in a pile one time and like
shut up.
Yeah,
oh yeah.
I remember this
old school
from like the 90s, and he would say this. And also, there was a story that during the replacement players, he trashed a dude's car thinking it was a scab player, and it was a veteran on the Chiefs.
No,
like this guy's a lunatic.
Yeah, I'm not taking any advice from Jack of the River. All I want to know is who the fuck follows him on Twitter. Like, how many followers does this guy have?
I don't know, but I mean dust up. Like,
yeah.
Cops were killed. If you're like Mr. Police guy, cops were killed.
Well, it's
an Antifa demonstration.
Yeah,
false flag.
Yeah, false flag.
So I think we did this story a couple months ago about how Channing Crowder talked about Ciara was like, what do you say? She was in it for the money or something.
Yeah.
He regrets the Ciara comments he made on a podcast in April.
Right.
But he doubled down on calling Russell Wilson a lame.
See, this is the thing about Russell Wilson is the other guys don't fuck with him. Like he's just not one of the guys. He's not respected
by other
players.
It's weird. It's like there are some guys that are super talented, but like they're not liked.
And even guys that aren't as good are like Baker Mayfield. Like the guys love him.
They love him. Remember like Carson Wentz, talented. When he got hurt, they really responded to Nick Foles.
Yes.
But they didn't like Carson Wentz. And then
didn't like him.
And Rodgers, there's been plenty of people who will leave the Packers and say they don't like him.
Yes.
So
yes.
Some of these guys, like it just, but if you're a talented quarterback like Russell Wilson is,
he's really good.
It's just, you can get away with it, but your teammates don't like you.
Yeah, no, and I'm here for it. He's such a weirdo. Like, I get why people don't like him. He's super weird.
He's contrived.
Yeah, he does that whole, like, come on, guys. Yeah, like he's a real fake rah-rah guy. Remember when they outlawed Beats headphones?
Yes.
Because the league had a deal with Bose, and then he immediately signed a deal with Bose. So he, like, everyone's pissed that they couldn't wear their Beats. And then here's old Russ.
He's Mr. Company Man.
Yes, Company Man. And guys don't like that. They want an edge. You know, it's one thing to be a good player, but you want guys to fucking throw their head in the way of another guy for you? You gotta have a little gravitas there. And he doesn't have it.
Right. And so the minute he loses a step,
yeah,
The minute he loses a step, people are going to be way off the Russell Wilson train.
And he might have lost that step. He's got those small hands.
I mean, he was not good last year.
He was not good last year.
And they're like, well, he had a hurt finger. Well, hopefully that everything's fine, but he did not look good.
Yeah, he's a smaller guy. He could those injuries could start piling up. He's not a big, tough dude that can take the punishment, and he likes to run outside the edge.
When you're small and you need that edge, like you think of Allen Iverson, I think maybe I mentioned it last week. Like Allen Iverson was 27, 28 points a game, and then like a year or two later, he was out of the league because once you lose the step and you're the small guy, you just can't. You can't
rely
do it.
On your athleticism.
Yeah.
It leaves you. Okay, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus, so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His faults are useless. Shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's Manuel in Gardenia.
Okay, a couple of voicemails. We are recording a day early here, but some people did reach out.
What's up, ballers? Team current episode, team every episode. Anyway, I got to take issue with Ed on one thing. He said on the most recent podcast about the LIV, those guys taking blood money. And I don't disagree at all. He's right. But the NBA does the same shit. They take China's money, and those guys are just as fucking bad. Yeah. Anyway, thoughts?
Yes.
Discuss?
Have
a great week, guys.
So I know his point.
Yes.
But the NBA players, they're just playing for the league that is, like, I don't know. Golf. This is an individual sport. You're not part of like a team. Like they were choosing to align with the Saudis specifically.
Yeah, and they're running towards it.
Right.
You know, like, it's
I get it. I mean, listen, I can't stand Jeff Bezos. And where do you get my books? I'm fucking Amazon. I get it. We all sell out to some extent. It's just when this is not a team sport. This is like individually they've chosen to get in bed with them. I think it's just to me. I don't know. I mean, again, I don't give a shit enough, but to like care that much. But it's, I don't know. It just feels a little bit more blood money ish to me because it's specifically getting in bed with the Saudis.
I hate to do this on Flag Day or the day before Flag Day, but wait till people find out what the people who pay for those flyovers at the NFL games do around the world every single day.
You're right.
Talk about
regime
being in bed with the Saudis.
Regime change.
Who's more in bed with the Saudis? Phil Mickelson or the United States military?
Right.
The Pentagon. So yeah, there's, you know, if there's dirtiness everywhere.
There is. Matt Damon did the crypto commercial, which, you know, I had no problem with that because it's like, well, get your money. But I don't know. It just feels especially bad. But at the same time, fuck the PGA if they were, you know, they're not running. Like, you do need competitions. You need
competition's good.
Competition's good for everything. It's just it's tough to get in bed with the fucking Saudis.
And these guys that are taking the money, other than maybe Bryson DeChambeau, are past their prime dudes. Like they're
doing the MLS thing.
Yeah,
the aged soccer player.
Exactly.
Getting
they're
paid.
Like Zidane over here.
Right. Messi's going to come next year or something.
What I heard. He gets a piece of the team.
Right.
But what's going to happen is the PGA is going to make things better for the current players. They're going to let them make more of their own money. and let them, you know, have better earning opportunities, because they recognize that they're losing players, and they're like Bryson DeChambeau, he's a top 10 player. Like, they're eventually more are going to go unless the PGA makes it better for the guys that are here. And that's, and they have the, they have these guys that ran to the other league to thank for it.
Right. It's competition. It's, yeah, it's the same thing as like all the shittiness done towards the hero who started the Amazon union. And like,
yes,
they talk about how horrible, but guess what? Like, people are going to start to get paid more because that's how it works. You need competition. You need unions. You need people to be held accountable. When it's just like a monopoly, it's,
yeah,
it's terrible. Yes. It's a terrible situation.
Yeah. Competition. Okay. That, that, by the way, was our delightful caller with the Shadow family, whose dad had the Shadow family. Yeah. I don't, he's never left his name. I don't know his name.
I prefer to think that that's Charles Kuralt's son.
Yes. Yes. Charles Kuralt Jr. Okay, here's one more.
So before Jumanji, you think that that's what pushed him over the 100 mil mark?
No, not that big, right?
Oh my God.
He's worth 100 mil before.
Jason, Ed.
Is this Stu?
This is Stu, and he's
talking about Jumanji?
He's sat on his phone, his Android with the cracked screen. He's accidentally pushed a button that called us.
Yeah, he's got us on speed dial.
And he's talking to one of his stoner bros about Jumanji. Let me let it play from the beginning again.
I think they're talking about The Rock's net worth.
All right. Oh, The Rock's rich as fuck. I follow The Rock. Look, he's a very inspirational guy. Fucking works out a lot in the middle of the night.
He's huge. He's so fucking big.
He's everything he touches turns to gold, although this new superhero movie that I'm hearing very bad things about. But not like he's such a great actor, although he was in Fast Five and he was fantastic in that. He had a goatee. That said, also, he was 37 in Fast Five and he's like 49 now, and he's at least twice as jacked as when he was 37.
Just natural.
He's very inspirational. He's amazing. But he does do a thing on his Instagram where he's like, I bought my mom a house. And it's like, oh, and he's giving her the house. And it's a great thing to do. Or then recently, must have been his mom's birthday, he's like, I remodeled my mom's house or redecorated or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, you're so fucking rich. Like,
but like,
yeah,
he was so fucking rich 20 years ago.
I know. It's like, I get it. And I know he does nice things for people. He's him and Cena are the top two Make-A-Wish guys. And I love The Rock. I love his cheap meals. I love his leg day. I love everything that he does. I love his tequila. Like, he's a great guy. But I mean, it's like, dude, you're so fucking, you know, you can do that kind of thing. I appreciate it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Let's listen to the Stu. I hope this isn't, well, if he says anything incriminating or embarrassing, I won't keep it in the episode. How about that?
Okay.
So before Jumanji, you think that that's what pushed him over the 100 mil mark?
No, not that I'm thinking about it.
He's worth 100 mil before Jumanji.
Yeah, for
corporate
sure.
Corporate shill. So no more Tenacious D.
He's talking about Jack Black.
Oh, Jack Black.
I do like Jack Black.
I love Jack Black. Everybody does.
That is an interesting. Where do you think he is in a net worth?
Ed.
Had he done? I mean, how fucking rich is this guy?
How fucking rich is this guy?
Oh, no.
I can't figure it out. I guess I'll try. Is he worth a billion or maybe just a million? How fucking rich is this guy?
Jack Black.
And by the way, Jumanji was a good movie. I took my kids to like 4 years
ago. I've heard good things.
It was fun. Yeah.
Jack Black, who's from the South Bay. I believe he went to UCLA.
His mom was like part of Apollo 13 crew at home.
She works for Rocketdyne or something. Yeah. Delightful guy. He's one of those guys that was in stuff and you didn't know who he was. I first remember seeing him in John Cusack. He owns a record store. It was a book.
High Fidelity. Nick Hornby.
I remember seeing him in that, but he was in stuff before that.
No, he was like had a part in I Know What You Did Last Summer too. And like he worked a lot. He was the buddy and Cable Guy.
That's right. That's where I remember seeing him first.
That was probably the first time I saw him. And then he got School of Rock. He had some stuff, but it's true. He hadn't been, and like Tenacious D was not like a big payout. No, it was respected, but it was not a big payout.
Yeah, no, that was a labor of love.
So maybe
project.
That was maybe the first big franchise he was part of. Yeah.
Jumanji. Jumanji. He was a fucking movie star. Nacho Libre, School of Rock. He was in that huge
The Holiday with he was playing opposite Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz.
Let's check out his IMDb. Well, he's very dynamic. I must not follow him anymore. But he had a very good Instagram. I'm not sure why I unfollowed him, or if I did, I feel like I haven't seen him in a while.
Very athletic things in his little round body.
Yes, yes.
He's very his face. He's always entertaining to look at.
Totally. Let's check his career here. We'll just go as actor here. Jump to actor. Okay, here we go. I mean, he's done so many things. A lot of these are like Foo Fighters videos. Holy shit, Ed.
Yeah.
Fucking guy was in an episode of The Fall Guy. His first job. 1984, that would have made him 15 years old. We're not doing how fucking old is this guy. He's born in 69. He's 52.
Teenage. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the Apollo 13. Yeah, he was like a baby when that happened.
Yeah, yep. Let's see here. Hold on. 1993. Bit part in little movie called Demolition Man, featuring a blonde Wesley Snipes, as I recall,
which inspired Dennis Rodman to color his hair. That's right. That was what he did. He copied Demolition Man.
Before that, did an episode of the heartwarming Down Syndrome Sunday Night TV show Life Goes On with Corky.
Oh, Corky Thacker.
And his sister, who we all kind of wanted to bang. Let's see. Northern Exposure. Blind Justice. Okay. Neverending Story 3.
That couldn't
It's warming up. No.
That couldn't have been a big payday.
Hold on, Ed. Here it goes, though. This is a lot of TV work, bit parts. 1995, he was a pilot in a little Kevin Costner disaster featuring Dennis Hopper doing it for the money. Wow. Waterworld. Then he does an episode of X-Files, Touched by an Angel, Jonathan Silverman show, The Single Guy. He's on that. Oh, here we go. Now it's happening, Ed.
Cable Guy.
Dead Man Walking. Apparently he's in that. I never saw it. Too depressing.
Yeah, it's a death row movie. I just know of it, but no, I didn't watch that movie.
Biodome. Pauly Shore vehicle. Picket Fences, I believe, starring Jim Carrey's wife, wife, Lauren Holly. It is after Picket Fences, he gets the Cable Guy, followed by murderous Robert De Niro in The Fan.
That movie was terrible.
So bad.
It was fun. It was comical.
Yes. Then here's something we forget him in. Great movie. Mars Attacks.
That is a good movie. Nicholson's great in that.
Great. Then, of course, the fantastic Mr. Show. That's what really blew him up.
Yeah.
Mr. Show with Bob and David. He was then in, who could forget? This DVD came free with the first DVD player I ever bought. The Jackal, featuring Richard Gere and Bruce Willis.
Which is based on one of my favorite books, Day of the Jackal. And then they made a
Carlos
movie.
The Jackal.
Yeah, it was a movie in the 70s, and it was his trying to thwart his plan to assassinate Charles de Gaulle.
Amazing. Then he was in something I haven't heard of and I wouldn't see based on principle because of the name, Johnny Skidmarks.
Never heard of that. That's a horrible name.
Followed by something called Bong Water. I still know what you did last summer. So he wasn't even in the original.
No, he was. They went. I remember this. They went to like an island for like spring break. And he had dreadlocks. It was
uncredited. It says
he was an annoying dreadlock guy in that movie.
You'll like this because you just talked about this last episode. I think Enemy of the State, 1998. He's in that.
Couldn't have had a huge role, but like you knew him by this point.
Yeah. Then he's a known guy. Then he, oh, who could forget? Wait, have I said High Fidelity? Oh yeah, here's High Fidelity, followed by, remember when they were trying to make Jason Biggs your Twitter follower thing?
Yeah.
Saving Silverman.
That, he was funny in that.
He was great. Amanda Peet, big fan.
Yes.
Arlie Ermey, also a fan. But this is where he really hits his fucking, he hits his stride. Shallow Hal, a movie they could not make today.
Right.
Because she was a fat girl, but she had a thin girl inside of her.
But that movie, it was Farrelly Brothers and Gwyneth Paltrow, but it was a Jack Black movie. Like he was on the poster.
I believe, wasn't Jason Alexander his?
Yeah.
Jason Alexander's in there too. Yeah.
Pale.
You know who we give a lot too much credit to are the Farrelly Brothers.
I mean,
most of their movies are shit.
But Dumb and Dumber and There's Something About Mary
are great.
And Kingpin are all great.
Yes, it's Kingpin's just, great.
After those three, all of a sudden,
wheels. Underrated. What was the one with, it's Jim Carrey and Renee Zellweger and they fall in love?
Oh, Me, Myself, and Irene is a good movie, too.
That's a good one. He's a crazy.
But these were all their beginning movies. And then, they're making that dumb Green Book.
Oh, yeah. He won an Academy Award.
Awful.
Awful. Dumb and Dumber 2 was so offensively unfunny. I walked out. It's the only movie I've ever walked out of, and I demanded my money back. It was that bad.
Yeah, that's what offends me the most. Bad comedy.
Yes, I agree. Okay, Shallow Hal. Then he did Orange County.
That was like a somewhat successful indie.
Colin Hanks. They shot at a little high school over here off the toll road. Ice Age, he's getting that voice work. Okay, then there's a lot of TV shorts. Yeah, oh, that's big. Then what else? Oh, there, and then Dewey Finn, School of Rock.
That was huge.
Let's see here.
I'm not seeing 100 you're right. million.
He's in Anchorman, but he just has that one scene where he throws Baxter off the Coronado Bridge.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You, what do you say? Like you killed the one thing I love now.
Yeah.
He punts back.
No, that's a great scene. Nacho Libre, big movie.
Yeah. But
that's kind of it. Remember he did King Kong he's in Walk Hard the Dewey Cox Story, but he's not the star.
I bet his biggest payday might have been King Kong. Because that was huge production.
I got one bigger, probably. Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, the star of your own franchise. Yeah.
And I think they did a couple of those.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. But you're right. He's not year one big. That was a big bust bomb with mousy guy, Michael Cera.
Yeah.
Gulliver's Travels, huge failure.
That was a bomb.
Yeah. And that, I pictured him having a little bit longer star run, Ed, and I think you're right. He just really had a couple. School of Rock, Kung Fu Panda, King Kong.
Butt Dial Stew, I think, was saying
right.
That.
Well, oh yeah, that's
this year. The best thing. I mean, we've gotten more content out of a Butt Dial than any show in history.
Yes. So I mean, Stew's right. Now he's. Do you hear? There's kids outside on their big wheels. Can you hear that?
Wow.
I have the window open here.
I used my big wheel to the point that I put holes in the tires. Yeah. I love that thing because you can make it skid.
Oh yeah,
it was great.
I wore out the wheel.
Yeah, absolutely. There would be like holes in the wheel.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let's hear the rest of what Stu had to say. And I believe he's right. You and Stu are both correct about Jack Black's career.
He like kind of does. Maybe that was already
corporate
kind of.
Well, they sort of mocked it, kind of.
How fucking stoned is Stu's buddy?
Yeah.
He's
getting philosophical about Jumanji.
Yeah, he sounds like Brad Pitt in True Romance. I mean,
Floyd.
He's doing a stoner character, Floyd.
In a way, stylistically.
I barely watched the original Tenacious D show, right?
Oh, they have a show?
On HBO.
Oh, my God.
The original Tenacious D show was an HBO show,
That's not Caleb. I mean, these guys live near each other. It's not... Stu's not hanging out with Caleb.
I don't think so.
Sounds kind of like him, but Caleb's a pretty high-level thinker.
I mean,
so
Caleb's a very high-level thinker.
Yes. He's too smart.
He's super smart.
For that conversation?
Yeah.
That's a great conversation, though, because it just gave
I'm enjoying the conversation.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, that was it. That's all we got of it. Well, Stu must have hung up.
That's some pretty good content, Stu.
No, that was fantastic. Thank you for that, Stu. We love you. Okay, quick email. Ballers, hashtag current episode, hashtag every episode, hashtag Friday Facts. I figured I would ask you two coastal elites a question that is bothering me. I have been to New York a few times and Los Angeles many times, and when you watch TV and movies, there always seems to be street parking. I have never seen street parking in these cities. Am I missing something? That's from Doug, the Canadian living in Houston. I always wonder. I've never been to New York, Ed. I always wonder that too. It seems like the most stressful city to drive in. I couldn't imagine. Where do people park?
This is the truth. I have only driven in the city and parked on the street twice. The rest of the times that I've driven in there, I've just gone to a parking garage.
Right.
But the two times that I parked on the street, I got a ticket because the signs are so confusing. Yeah. It's like every Tuesday and like, yeah. But it'll be like, I remember. And both of these times were like 20 years ago. And I realized like, I can't do this. I cannot figure out what the parking is. One time I parked by Central Park and it was the same thing. What I have heard from people are like, oh, it's no big deal. On Sundays, I think there's some level of parking on the street. But I mean, because I live a short train ride, I mean, it's a 6-minute train ride into the city. He's right. There's no, I mean, only in movies or like Seinfeld, you'd see like, hey, let me just parallel park here. Right. And you're like, there's no parking there.
No, it's probably the neighborhoods are probably a lot like the beaches around here where you just kind of, if you live there, you kind of know the spots and the times where people won't know to park and you can sneak a spot here and there.
Yeah.
Or you just drive around and you just keep getting further and further. If you don't have your own parking spot, you keep getting further and further away from your residence until you find one and hike or ride your skateboard. Similarly, it's the same in LA. There are places like neighborhoods where you can like go to City Hall and get a parking pass like for your guests.
Right.
And park, then you could park overnight. But I did that once in West Hollywood and I got a ticket for not having my wheels turned towards the curb.
I mean, of all of the horseshit, that is the flag day of tickets. Like that is just a complete bullshit ticket.
Yeah. It wasn't like I was on a 30-degree grade, Ed. It was like on a slight decline. And I parked and it wasn't steep enough that I even would think to turn my wheels. So I got that ticket. One thing in downtown LA, it's much like New York. There's structures that you park in, but you got to be careful because sometimes you'll park there and then the structure will close while you're at dinner. And then you have to call and see if somebody will come let your car out for a fee. Here's the thing that happens in downtown LA. And this might happen in New York too. Where there's nowhere to park, but you'll pull up to a restaurant and they have valet.
Yeah.
And then they take your car and they go somewhere with it.
Yeah, where?
Where? There's nowhere to park. There's no structures around. There's no neighborhoods. And I'm always like, and then you give them the keys and the guy goes fucking booking. Or, you know, you come out and you give him the ticket and the guy goes, okay, I'll get your car. And he fucking sprints somewhere and he's back in like 5 minutes. And you're like, where the fuck did you park this car? There's nowhere around here to park a car.
There must be an agreement with somebody.
Yeah, they do deals. That's for sure. That's a good question, though, Doug.
Yeah, that's a good
question.
Appreciate
it. Yeah. Okay, let's talk some non-sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports. Non-sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports.
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 Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports.
Non-sports.
Non-sports segment.
Ed, what is going on in the non-sports realm?
An RIP to a legendary character actor.
Did I forget the rest? Did we do any R? Oh, we didn't do any RIPs in sports.
Yeah, last week we had like 3 dozen. This week we got 2.
The Ballers hope you rest in peace. You won't laugh no more.
No.
You won't smile no more. You won't laugh no more.
Nope. Smile, laugh, you won't laugh fuck
no more.
Or fuck.
So dearly departed, we hope you rest in peace.
Legendary character actor Philip Baker Hall, 90 years old. I mean, the show Seinfeld is so great, and he is probably part of the best scene in the history of Seinfeld with Bookman.
Yes. Yes.
Going after the library book when he says, like, you and your joy boys, is this how you get your laughs? Like, he's amazing. I mean, he was great in Magnolia. He's just
a movie we reviewed here, Boogie Nights, with quite possibly the greatest line of dialogue in the history of cinema.
I like simple pleasures like butter in my ass, lollipops in my mouth. That's just me. That's just something that I enjoy. Call me crazy. Call me a pervert. I like simple pleasures like butter in my ass, lollipops in my mouth. That's just me. That's just something that I enjoy. Call me crazy. Call me a pervert.
Yes, he was fantastic. Nice long run, 90 years, but really one of those character actors that you were mesmerized every time he came on the screen. I put him and like Seymour Castle in that category. Yeah. We're you were just so stoked to see them show up in whatever they showed up in.
Yeah, a great character actor. And another RIP that I'm starting to worry about the power of this show.
Who did we kill recently?
Fred Ward. We killed Fred Ward
right after we do the Remo Williams and a glowing review of.
Yeah,
of,
we talked about how much we loved him.
Great face, great actor, just a great dude. We're big fans of Fred Ward. He died like a week later.
We mentioned somebody who hasn't been mentioned on a podcast ever. Jack Wagner and his wife. Christina Wagner, who played Felicia Jones and Frisco and Felicia on General Hospital. Their 27-year-old son, Harrison Wagner, died last week.
R.I.P. Like two blocks from the Starbucks I used to go to. Oof. I mean, not that that's just something. It's just a detail. Very sad. Very sad. Young guy.
The worst.
Yeah. Worst thing that could happen to anyone. Young guy that you know, had some substance issues and you know, like, it's just too often we hear that story, and it's very sad.
Right. Heartbreaking. I suppose this would be a heartbreaking story, but it's not a celebrity.
Yeah.
Elephant tramples woman to death, then attacks her corpse at the funeral.
Yeah. Look, this is some Montecore shit, Ed.
Yeah, but what did Peanuts the elephant, what happened?
She had seen some stuff, like... Something happened.
Yeah. There's definitely a backstory they're not telling us. Like this woman had a fetish or something that really bothered old Peanuts the elephant.
She did something to this animal, and this animal did. Look, they don't forget, Ed.
That's right. She may have done something 26 years ago.
Yeah. Now, I got a question, though. Like, maybe seeing as how this woman was murdered by an elephant. And I'm guessing that, you know, that will occasionally happen in this part of India.
Right.
Maybe hold a funeral on like some high ground.
Yeah. My Amumu had been fetching water from a well in the eastern Indian state of Odisha on Thursday.
The
elephant came barreling towards her. The tusked pachyderm had apparently escaped from a wildlife sanctuary.
Oh, it's like a Tilikum. They drove it crazy.
Yep.
It hated people, and maybe she was involved. Maybe this is like a Tiger King situation, or like I said before, Siegfried And R.I.P. Roy. R.I.P. Roy's trachea.
They were performing her last rites before lighting a funeral pyre when the elephant allegedly returned and grabbed her body. He threw the corpse in the air and then ran away.
Wow.
I mean, this is awful, but probably would have been cool to be there. Like, I mean, how often are you going to see that?
Yeah. I mean, it's not what I want to have happen at the funeral. The funeral I'm going to tomorrow. But if you're a neutral, you know, like the funerals that you have to go to that you don't really feel you're supposed to, but you just go.
Look.
It would be kind of fun. It's kind of like watching car racing. You don't want to say what would be exciting, but.
Yes. I'm dead. Like, I'm no longer using this vessel.
Yeah.
You want to let an elephant toss it around?
I want to be cremated, but if an elephant wants to come and knock over the urn and make a mess, I'm all for it.
Fuck yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it would be pretty fun.
R.I.P., but also, like, wow.
You just gave a story. You just gave a story to everyone who went there for the rest of their lives.
Who else is going to have gone to a funeral where the corpse was thrown about by
the murderer.
Yeah, by a 3-ton elephant.
A 3-ton murderer comes back to finish the job even more.
Hey. It's some real like BTK shit. Like this, he had an axe to grind. Yeah. Like he didn't forget.
Like you
literally
said, they don't forget. Like there's something. There's something that there's another layer to the story from Eastern India that we just haven't heard yet.
Yeah, there's definitely, we need to get Dateline over there. We need to get Keith Morrison.
Yeah. Stone Phillips still work?
I don't think so. I was just thinking about him the other day. Like, why did we tolerate him for so long?
Yeah.
Stone Phillips.
He's scary.
I remember he was doing it. What was her name? Elizabeth Vargas. She was on the sauce the whole time.
Stone Phillips was like a robot, right? He was like unsettling.
He was highly robotic. There used to be a video, and you can't find it anymore, of when Keith Morrison, and I've talked about it here before, when Keith Morrison,
Bill Hader always did a good Keith Morrison.
Yes, he was, before he was on Dateline, he was a local newsman here on Channel 4 KNBC. And there was a famous video back in the day where they're like, okay, cut, we're wrapped for the evening. And he reaches down under the desk and he pulls out a full can of Budweiser that he's been drinking the whole time.
That's amazing.
They used to do it back in the local news was the fuck. It's much like Anchorman. It was the fucking Wild West. They were stars.
So
they did whatever the fuck they wanted.
So I didn't, when I was at UBS, I was pretty close to Rockefeller Center. It was like diagonally across the street. And that's where the NBC, like the regular NBC, you know, aside from like Saturday Night Live and stuff, the NBC people would be there, the local like news.
Oh, yeah. The best.
And so we went to a restaurant nearby and it was the whole Live at 5 news team and they were tying one on. And then they have to go back for the 11 o'clock news. And so.
Oh, right. Yeah. They'd get drunk in between. Yeah.
And so, and then I wasn't there that night, but a viral clip of Sue Simmons, the female host. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? She said that at the 11 o'clock. I'm like, why did you do that? I'm like, because these people would get fucking ossified after Live at 5. They would just go get crushed and then come back and Warner Wolf would do the sports. And like, that's how it went.
Yeah. And that's your A team. That's your starting lineup. They do either the 5 or the 6 o'clock news, depending on what city you're in is the bigger news. And then they come back, they bring back the fucking A team again, 11 o'clock at night. And they tell the stories here too of KNBC where Keith Morrison works in Burbank. There's a Morton's downstairs. So they'd come down in between newscasts, have a couple of martinis, get a little loose, maybe get a nap. Go back and do the 11 o'clock. It's amazing.
And
the good old days.
And my buddy in London, I think he recently stopped working, but he worked for the BBC for years. And so there was like it was like a Soho house, but like a nice bar that was part of the BBC facility.
Oh, amazing.
And those anchors
drink.
And those anchors did the same exact thing. Like they did their 5 or 6 o'clock and then they did their 10 or 11 o'clock, whatever it is.
Night.
That was the move for
a life.
Global anchor people. That's what they do.
Just
get housed and then make mistakes at 11.
Oh, God. I should have been born into that.
A woman got an STD during car sex, and now Geico has been ordered to pay over $5 million for injuries sustained in the vehicle as per her contract.
Does the story say what Paul gave her? And I'm assuming it was a butt-specific STD. Hey fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Our podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.